You're all smiling because you think you know what I'm going to ask you next, don't you? But you don't. Have you praised God today?
Yes.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love this? We didn't sing How Great Thou Art, but we sang a lot of that spirit this morning,
yeah.
How Great Thou Art. Can we learn from children? This child doesn't know any better, and he's probably only about 2 years old, something like that. No, not even that. Learning from his parents. Can you see why Jesus said, bring the children to me? Bring the little children to me. I love the scripture that was shared earlier from Isaiah 53. You know, when you really think about it, in the world's eyes, Jesus was a failure. He was a fool doing what he did. But the Father had a plan. Jesus said, I'll go. He was the only one who could. And the Holy Spirit enabled it all to happen. And look what it did. It provided freedom from sin for anyone who would receive it and walk in that new relationship with Abba. Someone said it well. I'm a fool for Jesus. Whose fool are you? We all are a fool for something. We all worship something. It's just what we choose, whatever it is. So what are you choosing? What am I choosing today is the big question, isn't it? Whose fool are you? I hope I'm a fool for Jesus. Don't you? Crazy in love with Jesus and his crazy love we sang about earlier. Then let's turn around and let that love flow out of us. So you all have permission this morning to be crazy. All right? Foo, right? Foo for Jesus, right? Yeah. Well, I won't ask you how your week's been because I know it's been good. You've been to Abba's Boulangerie this week, right? Huh? And I hope more than once. I hope every day. I hope. Well, let's take another bite this morning and go a little bit further from where we were last week. Let's ask Abba right now to give us ears to hear. So we continue to learn to pray. So let's go back to Matthew 6 together. Let's read alternatively, all right? I'll start, you read the next verse, then I'll start. All right? Let's do that together. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray,
go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us today our daily bread. And all of us together. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Give us today our daily bread. Have you been eating well this week? I hope. Some of you too much, I know. But eating really well, the way that really matters. Amen? A little of this, but much of this. Last week, we were talking more about daily in the sense of frequency, often. Isn't it amazing? Abba always has his boulangerie open. It's always ouvert, right? Never fermé. Never. Anytime we can go, it's there. It's open. But I want to touch on something a little bit spinning off of that today. How do we get, it's important to eat frequently, yes, but how do we get the most out of our nourishment? Is there a secret? Is there some technique? There's some things that are really important, especially when it comes to feeding on his word. If Jeremiah, using metaphor, of course, but showing the passion of his heart, that he loved the word so much that he used the analogy, your words were found and I ate them. I consumed them. They were so important to me. I wanted them to be a part of every bit of who I am and how I live. May that be so. How does that happen? Are there any secrets to it? We've got to go further if we want to eat well. We ask each other from time to time, I think, have you read your Bible today? Have you asked that to each other? Husbands and wives, have you asked that? Or don't you get that nosy with each other? Have you read your Bible today? That's a great start. But it must go further than that. A great beginning. There's a big difference between reading the Bible and entering the Bible. Say reading with me. Reading. Now say entering. Reading the Bible will tell you about history, give you facts, a wonderful beginning. It's important. Entering the Bible is like shadowing Jesus. You do some of that, I think, here in France, right? Shadowing. A young person can go and spend time with someone at work and be with them, follow them, shadow them, and see what their work involves, and maybe make a decision out of that, whether they want to follow that profession. Entering the scripture is a lot like that. We need to do certain study, gain facts, but then we're to go further. It's like shadowing Jesus, following his path and what he's saying to us. As you get that more on your heart, you'll begin to literally hear him speak to the lame man. You'll watch him touch a leper. You'll feel the pain of somebody being abused by one of the priests. You'll watch him respond to men and women and children out of his full security and confidence in who he is and was. You'll actually enter into that. You'll watch him respond to men and women and children so tenderly, so sensitively. You'll be moved by his genuineness, his integrity. You'll sense his loving wisdom in what he says to a woman who is about to be executed by stoning. You'll hear what he has to say to those seeking him. You'll sense his heart for those rejecting him. And the more you learn about God and his heart, the more you sit with Jesus, the more you... Now it's time for the word. Marinate in his truth. And let it wash over you and you soak in it. Let it do its work. on you and into you, then you truly encounter him. And I like this image, the fact of as you really begin to enter the word, you begin to really see him, and he actually emerges out of the word, and you encounter him. Him. The more your faith will grow up within you. And that's what the apostle himself learned. And that's why he said what he said to the Romans as he wrote his letter. You build your faith as you truly hear his word, going deeper than the head. And one of the best ways is getting used to developing the skill of entering his word. I like to work with wood. It's sort of a hobby of mine. It was a profession of my grandfather and my mother's side. And it always fascinated me to watch him do things in his shop with wood. How you could make things, shape them, do whatever you want, smooth them out with sandpaper, finish it, make it the color you want with the stain that you choose, finish it with various kinds of choices of finish, and you end up with some amazing creation. Maybe part of why I like it is because it's creative. It's also redemptive. You take this measly old junky piece of wood, and you can really make something out of it, form it, shape it, play with it, and have something emerge. And when you work with a lot of intangibles, it's nice sometimes to have something really tangible. A lot of people in pastoral ministry seem to do that, work with something like that or some of the arts, and you can understand why. But it's enjoyable. Also, it's enjoyable because my wife wants me to build things all the time. So I have to do, you know, I have to honor her and do whatever she tells me. So build furniture and whatever a little bit. Yeah. So it's a special thing to me. Even to the point where sometimes you can take an oil and you don't finish that piece with cloth or something special to apply it. Actually, you can take your bare hands with oil and caress that piece, that creation, and you actually get oil into places where you can't always get it with just mere cloth. And plus, then you engage that creation. Am I getting really crazy and weird in this? You really do enter into something there, and God can even teach you things through that experience, and it's been amazing for me. I love it. But most of it, most of the things I create are standing in a corner or hanging on the wall, and I don't get to play with them that much because they belong to somebody else. So, but that's okay. It's interesting when you finish a piece to shine it, protect it even, but also it brings out the beauty of it. But you know, it's interesting. The secret is you apply many coats. You don't just take a gallon of varnish and go, voila, fini. No, it doesn't work that way. One thin coat, a little bit of sanding, another thin coat, a little bit of sanding, another thin coat, etc., etc. In fact, with some pieces, it's literally dozens of coats. 12, 13, 14. My wife says, "What are you doing down there?" "I'm putting the 10th coat on." "Aren't you done yet?" "No, I have 10 more coats to go." That kind of thing. But it brings something out. There's a haunting depth almost. You look at that and you feel like you can reach down in and touch the grain. It brings out something amazing in that creation that you don't get any other way. There's a lesson in that. I'm getting there So, patience, s'il vous plaît. You think about it, the patient process, layer upon layer upon layer. Wisdom is built that way. Character is built that way. And only that way. You can't take a shot or a pill. I'm sorry, doctor. There are some things you can't. And I know this lady understands that fully well. There are many things you can, and it's wonderful. But this, no, you can't. You grow into it day by day, step by step, word by word, mariné by mariné. That's how. It comes through consistency, and you cannot be in a hurry. You cannot rush for a quick fix. No. Patience, patience. Friends, it is wonderful, isn't it, that we can wait daily at the boulangerie, the divine boulangerie, for bread. It's wonderful. As we saw last week, like the Israelites were taught in the wilderness, to daily gather what they needed, day by day by day by day. And that's the way it is to grow deeper in Him, in His truth. Until what you live and how you live begins to actually match what you believe. Coat by coat by coat. So you and I have three choices. This is, again, not the magical sermon with 3 points, but it happens to be this way. We have three choices in how we eat. Did you know that? Three choices in how you eat. If you take the Word of God into your head and then simply spout it out to others, so it goes no further than the head, and that's all that happens, but you don't take it any further, that's what we call information. Information, right? The Pharisees were very, very good at that when it came to information. Intellectually gathering it, mastering it, all kinds of biblical data and more. They mastered it. But they neglected to apply it. They refused to live it out. They never oriented their lives to it. See, even though they loved to teach it to others. No wonder Jesus told his followers, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, that was a place of authority, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but, notice, but do not do what they do. Say that with me. Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Information alone is not enough. Now, if you hear an exciting message that makes you want to stand up and shout, I hope that's every week, hallelujah. I mean, there's times when, yeah, you ought to be thrilled, excited about what you hear, and the Holy Spirit is witnessing to your heart, and you're going, voila, I did not see that. Thank you. And, okay, new hope, new encouragement, whatever. That's awesome. That's what we call inspiration. It begins to get a little closer to the depths of the heart. Most of us are pretty good at this. Don't stand up and jump around now to show us that you're good at it. But yeah, there's a time for that. It's wonderful. We love to listen to great music, and we heard some wonderful music and worship this morning, didn't we? And thank you all for leading us in that, being lead worshipers this morning for that. It's awesome. And we love to go to seminars where we can and be motivated. We love to read good books. But often that's as far as it goes. No more. Why? It makes for good conversation. It stirs our intentions, gives us nice feelings. But friends, it leaks. It does not last long. It drains out of us if we have nothing else. And that's it. Inspiration alone is not enough. But when you ask, you start asking to yourself and to God, how am I starting to live differently because of what God has just said to me? How are you working in me, Holy Spirit? What's going on here from what you've just been showing me? And do I look more and more like Jesus? Remember, we've said we should be encouraging each other with that. If we see a little of Jesus in a brother or a sister, tell them. Tell them. Don't wait until they're perfect. Marie-Claude is almost there, perfect. But tell her now that you see some of Jesus in her. Don't wait until she's totally perfect. She's saying amen to that. Yeah. How, Lord? That's then when you go beyond and you're asking these things, and these things are beginning to work out through you more, that's where the process of incarnation begins. There's a difference. Incarnation is what changes the world. In fact, we know that's what Jesus did. He became known to us. He became like us. He incarnated, became flesh, and revealed himself to us and his plan that way. It's transformational. Incarnation is what will transform your family. Incarnation rewrites your future. Anybody say, thank you, Lord, for that? But when you hear God's word and treat it as fresh bread that you've got to have every day, and it's changing who you are, how you live, that and more, and when it's bleeding out your fingertips and your toenails, anybody had that yet? I've seen no blood-stained shoes when you walked in this morning. When it's bleeding out of you that way, that's when it makes you a disciple through that incarnation. How many of you want to be a disciple? Even say that right now to him. Lord, I want to be truly a disciple of yours. That's my desire, Lord. There it is. Just in your head, what is it? Information. Just starting to push in toward your heart? Inspiration. But when it starts to bleed out of you and you're starting to really live it, incarnation. So when it's just in your head, information, it makes you Pharisaical. And friends, let's stay humble. Inside of each of us is a Pharisee just waiting to grow up. We have to put it to death by the filling of the Spirit in our lives. When it's just in your heart or pushing in toward your heart, the inspiration, and that's it, it makes you a fanatic. When it's in your head and your heart and it's bleeding out your toes, the incarnation thing, that's what makes you truly authentic. So what's the question this morning? What do I want to be? Pharisaical? Do I want to go further? Do I want to be inspirational? Or do I want to go even further? Not just Pharisaical, not just a fanatic, but I want to be authentic. I want to move into truly being a disciple of His. That's where entering the work will help us. What does this authenticity do? It brings us power, first of all. Who needs power in your life? Who can do everything on your own? Oops, somebody accidentally slipped up their hand back there. Yes. Jude, he always slips up his hand. He said, yes, yes, that's me. Okay, we need to talk afterwards, Jude. But he gets it. He gets it. Power, because when there's nothing in the way of His freely working in us, amazing things begin to happen. It's a natural. It's a given. When we give God freedom, oh, you are in for an aventure, a ride, a real ride. It's wonderful. But secondly, why it's so important, authenticity, is it brings protection. Tell me, is this a ralentisseur? Is that what that is? Ralentisseur or something like that? No? Hmm?
Dedan.
That's what that...
Yeah.
See, and we're going to lose one of our key translators here. What am I going to do with her going? Yeah. Someone else told me the other day that there's a nickname for it also called gendarme. Yeah. Okay. How many of you want a gendarme around all the time? But you get the sense of it. What do? They slow you down and get you really, really angry. They can. It shows if you're truly sanctified or not, these things. Yes, it's a test. They slow you down so you're not going too fast and do something you will deeply regret. There will be times, friends, every one of us does it, when we're on autopilot and we're not alert like we should be, and we're just coasting along, and we're not being careful. How many of you have ever been on autopilot? Come on, all the hands, please. Arsene, get your hand up. Get your hand up. Yes? We all can do it if we're not careful, not being intentional and alert with our faith. Then what happens? What happens? Temptation will snare you, grab you. Anger will put a stranglehold on you, change your heart. Horrible. Depression will take its hold and press you down like nothing ever before without it. And you'll be tempted then to give it all up just to get rid of the pain. But if you are marinating in God's word, sitting with Jesus in His presence, waiting on God, being still, getting in that practice, friends, you will be building internal gendarme. Who wants a gendarme living within them? Okay, let's use another example. But you will be building internal speed bumps automatically. And they'll alert you. They'll slow you down. They'll keep you from deep regret. Time will pass. After a while, you'll look back and say, I am so glad I installed speed bumps. So, friends, three things. Keep eating fresh bread. Day by day by day. Can I get a French amen on that one? Amen or something? Amen, monsieur. Something like that. Keep putting on those thin coats. Coat by thin coat by thin coat by thin coat. Keep your speed bumps in good shape. In good shape. Tell your neighbor, it takes more than sport to be in good shape. Okay, you don't want to tell your neighbor, that's fine too. You don't want to get punched by that. Sport is good, but it takes a lot more than that to be in good shape. So, just a quick thing in closing. You probably may be aware, much of today's church suffers from a famine. Friends, let's never let it happen at Tikos. That's what I love about being here, is there's no famine here at Tikos. People are hungry. They're getting bread pretty regularly. Some of us could do a little better because we're not all eating daily. Some of us think we can get by with just a bite once a week. And we wonder why we're having so many problems in our lives. Because we're not eating well and taking care of ourselves. But there's a famine in much of the world. It's not because of lack of resources. The Divine Boulangerie is always ouvert. There it is, voila. And Abba is saying, come. Viens, right? Viens. It's here. Many are happy with just a meal a week, but they're getting in trouble. It's getting worse and worse. Many are still not convinced that they need to eat well. Day by day by day by day. The answer is simple. All we have to do is what our brothers and sisters before us have done, and we have lots of examples of it, not just in the Word of God, but around us and history of the church. It's there. Eat fresh bread. Often. Combine information with inspiration. Deeper than that, to become incarnation, where you emerge a disciple. With a sheen on you, so beautiful, so deep, that as people gaze into that attractive finish, all they see is Jesus. Shouldn't people be surprised by Jesus? By our sheen? How do you say that in French? The sheen? The patina or the... Patino. Huh? I was almost there. Yeah. Think about that. Very simple. Put many coats on your furniture, on your creation. Many coats. And then your speed bumps will be ready. Amen. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Say that with me. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Stand with me for a moment, would you, as we pray together? As we're bowing in prayer, let's do something a little bit similar to what we did last week, where we're just sitting in Abba's presence, trying to listen to him, hear from what he's saying to us, each of us. You can hold up your Bible or your smartphone or whatever, wherever the word is for you right now, or your hand, just some kind of indication where you're saying, Lord, I want more. I want you to work more in my life. And even as I say these words, you can repeat silently after me as part of your prayer, if that's your desire on your heart this morning. So Abba, thank you that you've been here and that you are here. And Abba, I want to say to you this morning, I don't want just information. I don't want just inspiration. I want incarnation. I want true authenticity. Help me not to just read your word this week. I want to enter it. I really want to enter it. I want to engage like never before. I want to encounter you like never before. I want to live for you like never before. Abba, is there anything you want to show me right now? Do I need to adjust my calendar or my schedule or my lifestyle in some way? Is there something else that is on your heart for me? Be still for just a moment. Holy Spirit, guide me, fill me, lead me. Abba, thank you for your daily bread. Help me to take it so I can really live for you day by day by day. And Abba, I want to live in your truth. I want to marinate. I want depth. I want good speed bumps in my life. And so thank you, Abba, for your daily bread. Say it with me. Abba, thank you for your daily bread. Amen.